26 Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time. The first reading from the Book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 25 to 29. The Lord came down in the clouds and spoke to Moses, taking some of the spirit that was on Moses. The Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders, and as the Spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Joshua son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my lord, stop them. But Moses answered him, Are you zealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets? Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all? The second reading from the letter of James, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are drying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ear of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verses 28 to 43, 45, and 47 to 48. At that time, John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he did not follow us. Jesus replied, Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water should drink because you belong to Christ. Amen, I say to you, you will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of the little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands go to Gehenna, into an unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into like ripple than with 2 feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eyes causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their womb does not die and the fire is not quenched. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. We should eliminate jealousy and greed from our family and community. Taking side, jealousy and greed easily make people to forget their final goal and to expel those who do not have the same attitude, doing the same thing, or belong to their party. The faithful must remember that their most important duty is to do all that they can for the gospel to be expanded to all the earth. But the way to do it depends on the grace which God gives to people. They need to avoid the attitude thinking that only they are important or only their way is correct. They should not be jealous when others are equal to or more important than them, because they are unable to do everything, and they also have no strength to endure all pressures. Therefore, God needs many eager workers to work for His vineyard. Today's readings teach people to eliminate the attitudes of party, jealousy, and greedy. In the first reading, Moses desired the divine spirit is given to all the Israelites so that they stop complaining about God and Him. In the second reading, St. James taught that all the material things in the universe belong to God and are given to human beings. No one had the right to hoard up and to store up for himself while others are hungry and poor. In the Gospel, when John asked Jesus to revenge someone who expelled a demon in his name because that person did not belong to Jesus' disciples, he told him not to revenge that person, because whoever is not against us is for us. Second analysis. First reading. The divine spirit works everywhere in everyone. Third point. The divine spirit is given to 70 elders, including Eldad and Medad. First, the 70 elders. The total number of the Israelites who got out of Egypt is about 1 million of people. They continued to ask, to complain, and to rebuke Moses about their lack of water, food, meat, and vegetables. Moses was so tired of their complaints, so he said to God that he will no longer be able to lead them by himself. God understood Moses' pain and tiredness, so he told Moses to choose 70 elders those who are advanced in their age to share his responsibility. See Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. Today passes reported. The Lord then came down in the cloud and spoke to him, taking some of the spirit that were on him. He bestowed it on the 70 elders, and as the Spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Second, and that and made that. At that time, there were two people in the camp who are and that and made that. Both were registered in the list of the 70 elders, but for some reason, they didn't come to the tent. The divine spirit also descended upon them, and they began to prophesy in the camp. Second point, Joshua's jealousy. When it happened, a young man came out and announced to Moses, and that and made that are prophesying in the camp. First, Joshua's reaction. Joshua, son of Nun, who lived with and served Moses from his youth, said to Moses, Moses, my Lord, stop them. Second, Moses' reaction. Moses understood the divine spirit like God, acts and controls all people in everywhere, not only on those selected. So he answered Joshua, are you zealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets? Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all? We tend to limit God's works or the Holy Spirit's works only on some people or the church, and forget that their works cover all the universe. The scripture wrote many times that God's power was also at work on the Gentile kings, such as Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and Persia, so that they must do what he wants. The divine spirit also worked in the Gentile who would not even be baptized, such as Cornelius' family, a Roman officer. See Acts chapter 10. Second reading, God's material things in the universe must be shared by all. Third, the greedy shall be punished. A very bad habit of people is avarice without limit. The greedy want to hoard up material gains for themselves in all possible ways without caring for other necessary needs. Saint James witnessed cases in which the rich exploited the poor in his community. He condemned them as follows, come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth had rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Second point. After sin, we are also called by human greed. The greedy are not only committed the sin of hoarding up material things, but also commit other sins such as, first, injustice. Behold, the wages withheld from the worker who harvested the fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ear of the Lord of hosts. Second sin, wasting their money on immoral sins. Why the poor have no food to eat, nor money for their necessary needs. The rich waste their money in casino or prostitution. Saint James condemned their unjust acts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. Third sin, killing the righteous. To satisfy their greed, the rich get rid of all those who revenge, criticize, or accuse of their sin, as Saint James accused them. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. Third, the gospel. Whoever is not against us is for us. The third point. Jesus' disciples need to be generous. The apostle John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he did not follow us." The reason why John made this petition, because he wanted the privilege to expel demons, is limited only to the circle of Jesus' disciples. If everyone can do it, Jesus' disciples shall have nothing which is special to people. First, Jesus' disciples need to avoid monopoly. Jesus replied to John, "Do not revenge him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever not against us is for us." Jesus' principle is that one is not able to be contradictory to himself. Either he had or did not have. He is not able to choose both. To expel demons, one must have a firm faith in Jesus and must speak in his name to expel them. If a person had no faith and did not use Jesus' name, he can never expel demons. The faith one has or loses requires a long time, not only in the short period of time. Therefore, when someone expels the demons, he already had his faith in God. Why do we need to prohibit them? Moreover, the purpose when Jesus chose the disciples is to train them to preach the gospel, not to pay attention to position or rank of an individual or a group. Jesus gave them the power to expel demons, to light up people's faith, not as a privilege to protect. The party often causes people not to pay attention to the purpose, but to fame, rise, and to easily exclude others from their group. Second, people have the freedom to accept the truth. We need to be generous to accept people's freedom. When preaching the gospel, Jesus only presents the truth to convince people to believe in him. together with some miracles. If they refuse, Jesus does not force them to believe in him. Similarly, we can only present the truth or analyze the benefits if they live according to it, and the damages if they do not. Then it is up to them to decide if they want to follow or not. We are not able to force people to accept our will. Third, in the journey to search for the truth, there are many ways to lead people to the truth and to light up people's faith in God. Not only a single way. Let God work in them and let them have time to recognize the truth. We need to avoid the attitude that only our way can help people to recognize the truth and to attain salvation. Second point, love and good works are two efficient ways to preach the gospel. Third point, a disciple must help people in need. Jesus taught, anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Jesus' religion is the religion of love. Jesus' disciples are unable to love God without loving others. The standard which God uses to judge people is to help people. See Matthew chapter 25. Whoever helps others, he helps God, and shall inherit God's kingdom and the eternal life. Second, a disciple must lead by good example, not bad ones. Jesus taught, whoever causes one of the little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a red millstone were put around his neck and were thrown into the sea. Same thought at above. Whoever refuses to help others, he refuses to help God himself. He shall not be inherited his kingdom. If he does not do good deeds to others, but also to prevent them to come to God by their evil deeds, they shall certainly be cast outside. Third point. Jesus' disciples must be free from sin. The next five sentences have a textual problem. The commentary considers verses 44 and 46, same as verse 48. Their womb does not die, and the fire is not quenched. The five verses should be read as follows. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their womb does not die and the fire is not quenched. See Mark chapter 9, verses 43 to 48. There are at least two ways to understand this passage. First, according to the fundamentalism, those who emphasize on the literal sense, Jesus wants the people to cut off part of the body that caused them to sin. Second, people must recognize the dangers of sin. Sin can lead people to hell. Therefore, people need to find all the possible ways to eliminate sin from their life. If we understand as literal as the fundamentalism, people might have nothing more to cut off because they often sin. Jesus wanted people to recognize the danger of sin because they might lead them to hell and not to attain their final goals of life. Application in life. God's Spirit is at work everywhere and in all people. We should not limit His works in ourselves or community or only in the church. The important goal of our life is to help God's kingdom to come. And it will be done on earth as in heaven. To do so, we need the cooperation of many people. All material things in the universe belong to God and are given to all. We should not hoard up things for ourselves while others are hungry and in need. We have a duty to set good example for others by our virtuous life. We must also try to avoid sin and evil deeds which lead others to lose their faith. Amen.